You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, recent flooding across the Midwest has caused billions of dollars in damage, and it's also meant major setbacks for industries like farming. Levees are used in many communities to control flooding, but our guest says they may be making things worse. Right now, it's time for our weekly review of state news with reporters from around the state. First, the Marathon County Board voted this week to uphold its recent decision declaring June as Pride Month, but some board members reconsidered their stance along the way. Laura Schulte is a reporter for the Wausau Daily Herald. Laura, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Back in June, Laura, the board voted that June would be known as Pride Month in Marathon County. Can you talk about what happened next that got us to this second vote?
Yes. So a few hours before last week's informational meeting, one of the board members submitted a reconsideration. But due to some legal reasons, Robert's Rules of Orders and state statutes, they couldn't put that on the agenda just a few hours before the meeting. They need a 24-hour notice. So it came up at the action meeting on Thursday, the meeting where they normally take votes, which meant there was no public comment allowed. And they revisited that conversation without any input from the public based on the reconsideration of a board member who had a voted yes originally but wanted to change his mind because his constituents, largely from one of the more rural areas of Marathon County, his constituents were upset about the vote yes.
Now, can you talk a little more about what board members heard after initially declaring Pride Month in Marathon County?
A lot of the board members said they got a lot of positive feedback, but especially in the more rural parts of the county, board members were getting really negative feedback, a lot of which was very religiously based. People were really upset, and they thought that it singled out one part of the population without giving any recognition to any other parts of the population.
And did you write, at least one board member said that they had received death threats as part of this?
Yes. Board member Kahlo said that she had gotten some death threats, and that was one of the religious emails or letters that she received. And that said, everybody who voted in the affirmative for the Pride Month resolution should die because of that.
And what was ultimately the result of this reconsideration vote?
The reconsideration, it didn't pass. There were 2 hours of pretty tense conversation surrounding it. We heard a lot of religious references in there. A lot of people saying that it shouldn't happen. But ultimately, the board pretty much voted the same way that they had. Two more board members were present than the original meeting. So actually, that was two more votes in the negative. But it was upheld. It was a very narrow three vote gap there. So it was very narrow.
Let's turn now to another story you covered this week. A Wausau resident says she was the victim of a racist attack. It's gotten the attention of local officials and the community. Can you tell us what happened?
Yes. Sadia Hussein has lived in Wausau for about 5 years, and she was out for a walk early last week near Oak Island. She says she does this a lot. She, you know, walks around there. And while she was walking, a couple pulled up in a truck and asked her where the projects were. And she said she didn't understand the question, so she asked them to clarify. And they asked her, where do all the poor people like you live? Following that, the woman took the top off of a cup and threw a liquid on Sadia. During the press conference this week, she said she wasn't sure what it was. She at first thought it was acid because she's seen news stories like that. Ended up just being water. They yelled some expletives at her, and she started walking back from Oak Island towards Thomas Street, and she said the truck made a few more passes by her. She did end up getting a photo of the truck, and the truck is a gray Toyota Tundra, and it had Texas temporary plates with a partial number of 8 and 4, according to the Wausau police.
Now, Hussein had talked about this on social media and then again at a press conference. What kind of reaction is this getting now from local officials?
Obviously, there's been a lot of condemnation. A lot of people are very upset that this is happening in the community, saying that we need to come together and combat problems with racism in the community. you know, obviously the WASA police, the police chief, Ben Bliven, was actually present at the conference and spoke. And he's encouraging people who are victims of sensitive crimes like hate crimes. He's urging them to come forward. He said that Sadia was very brave, and it's a good thing that she came forward. They're trying to find the people who did it. And other things, some of the officials are calling for more racial education, more sessions educating the white members of the community about complicit bias and racism and stuff like that.
Laura, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Laura Schulte is a reporter for the Wausau Daily Herald. She talked with us about a racist attack on a Wausau woman and the Marathon County Board's decision to keep June designated as Pride Month. Now, Milwaukee has approved a pilot program of electric dockless scooters in the city. Comes after more than a year of debate about whether to allow rental scooters, which have been showing up in urban areas around the country. Jeremy Janine is president and co-founder of the online daily Urban Milwaukee. Jeremy, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's been quite a ride to get here, Jeremy, with back and forths over scooters, whether they'd be allowed, how they'd be allowed. Can you give us a quick history of this scooter effort in Milwaukee?
Absolutely. The first day of Summerfest last year, without announcement, President Trump was also in Milwaukee for a visit, and Bird, one of the couple of venture capital-backed scooter providers operating on an international level, dropped off approximately 100 scooters on city streets. To unlock them, all you had to do was download a smartphone app, scan the scooter, and you could go riding with a cheap, I think it was 15 cent per minute fee. Well, the catch became that the city of Milwaukee wanted to know what their regulatory authority was. They quickly explored this, given that there was scooters all over the sidewalk. There were scooters all over people driving them in the street. Some people loved them. Some people hated them. But the big catch was that they were not legal under state law. There's a bunch of classifications of different vehicles under Wisconsin statutes, most of them being agricultural equipment, like the ability to drive a tractor on a state highway. But scooters, just like Segways had to be in the early 2000s, needed to be defined. And so after a lawsuit was filed by the city of Milwaukee at Bird, Bird voluntarily retracted their scooters from the city streets. And the legislature, as we all know, had a big election in the fall, and that put things on hold. Finally, they came back just a couple weeks ago and approved legislation to legalize them at the state level. And that brought forward a Milwaukee program, a pilot program, to allow them again on the streets of Milwaukee and other cities.
Now we have this company, Lime Scooter, and it sounds like, unlike the one you just mentioned, they actually went to the city first before they started dropping scooters on the streets.
Yes, Lime had hired a lobbyist last year already at the same time Bird entered the Milwaukee market, but took the tactic of, we'll wait to make sure we have complete regulatory approval, where Bird went ahead and just deployed the scooters. They're both expected to be back this year, but Lime is now here legally through the pilot program.
And you mentioned these scooters in cities around the country. It's been a love-hate scenario here. Some people like these things. Some people are just annoyed at their existence. What kind of rules and guidelines are going to be in place in this pilot program?
And the biggest thing about that is sidewalks. The scooters can go up to 15 miles per hour. So if that's coming down the sidewalk at you, yeah, you're probably not going to like that. And so the Milwaukee pilot and a new ordinance they passed bans sidewalk riding. There's up to a $100 fine. But the council realizes that given Milwaukee's challenges, they don't want to see the police department's time tied up arresting people biking on the sidewalk. So there's a big public push by the city and through the media to have people not ride on the sidewalks voluntarily, to use bike lanes and other streets where possible.
And there are also always questions about, where do these things get parked? Are people just hopping off and leaving them? What's the company, what's the city doing to try to make sure that scooters aren't littering the city?
Yes, as part of the pilot program, that's a bit of a gray area right now. There's no clear, hard and fast rule on that. But what Lime does is, when you end your ride, you have to take a photo of it. And Lime is then able to, if they find a scooter, if someone reports a scooter, takes a photo of it, they can ID who parked it last, determine if they parked it poorly, look back at the photo. They can also send suggestions to riders based on their technology. They say, that says, hey, it looks like you're parked in the middle of the sidewalk. Please, you know, get out of the way and leave plenty of space for people to get through. But that'll be something that the city has to closely monitor going forward, especially as hundreds and hundreds of scooters get deployed on city streets.
We'll watch for that. Jeremy, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Jeremy Janine is president and co-founder of the online daily Urban Milwaukee. He talked to us about electric scooters coming to the city's downtown, and he wrapped up our weekly look at news stories from around Wisconsin.